I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be supporting Governor Romney.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line.
Greg Abbott is calling for an Article 5 convention. Ted Cruz seems to be having some issues with his memory. And on the phone, we have a candidate for Texas State Senate District 1 from the Republican Party, Mike Lee. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing really good. How about you guys?
Oh, great. Glad to have you on. Now, a lot of people that are into politics in Texas are familiar with David Simpson and Brian Hughes, who you're running against, but people don't know a lot about you, and I myself don't know a lot about you, and that's why I contacted you, so we could find out what you're about.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm a retired Navy hovercraft pilot. It's been 20 years in. When I started, I was one of 12 in the world flying the LCACs in the United States Navy. I got into politics shortly after that when I retired, became a surrogate speaker and a stand-in debater for several different congressmen and senators around the country, and have just been involved with politics ever since. I own couple different businesses and founded some nonprofits here in East Texas. Known David and Brian for quite some time, and you know, one thing just led to another, and now I'm in the race against guys that I think are friends of mine.
Now, a hovercraft is not like a hoverboard. Now, the hovercraft you're talking about actually hovers.
it does. It hovers about 6 feet in the air. You can see them on YouTube. Just type in LCAC, L-C-A-C. Generally, we told everybody we carried 60 tons, and we could do that at around 50 miles an hour. Generally used to carry Marines and Marine equipment. One of our secondary missions was insertion and extraction of Marine recon and Navy SEALs. So we did a little bit of everything. In the beginning, we had to work pretty hard to try to figure out how to use them and how to make them work, because they were brand new. For every 10 minutes of operational time, we had to change at least one of the 8 gearboxes, which was about $100,000 a pop. But we got that figured out and worked very well with them in the first Gulf War where I served.
Wow. Well, you know, one of the things we love to do is try and, you know, dive into the harder divisive issues. You mentioned, you know, both Hughes and Simpson are friends of yours. You know, one of the reasons we've fallen so in love with Simpson here at East Texas Liberty is just because of his bold stances on statesman issues. And in other words, he really seems to understand the role of government. You know, his position on marijuana, I think, is a great line in the sand between a difference between him and Hughes. You know, Hughes thinks that you should still be locking people up for having a plant that has been proven to be medicinal and beneficial for lots of folks, whereas Simpson believes it should be stricken from the legal code and treated like any other daffodil as far as, you know, the rule of law is concerned. Would you mind sharing with us your position on how we deal with, you know, marijuana, I guess, in general, just since that's kind of a hot topic these days?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm quite a bit different than both of those guys. I'm in a little bit of a different situation. I own a funeral home, and so quite often I see people who come through my funeral home that have been in car crashes and things like that, and it was due to marijuana. I had a young girl not long ago, 20 years old, and had to sit down and tell her entire family they can't view her because she was smoking a joint going down a country road, ran off the road, broke every bone in her body. Now, personally, I don't care what you do with a joint in your home, especially if you're an adult. And what I mean by adult, you have some years to you. The problem I have is that we have a lot of young people who really aren't, they're not capable at this point of making a good, sound decision. And so a lot of times I see it a little bit differently. Like I said, I see those people come through the funeral home. So I'm against legalizing marijuana. And I make no bones about it. I'm adamantly against it. I don't want to see you locked up and the key thrown away or anything like that. But I think that a Colorado-style legalization is not right for us, not here in East Texas. But that's my personal opinion.
Well, and that's why, you know, I love that as a topic because, you know, it really kind of illustrates when you want to use your personal views via government as a tool to enforce your views, or if you want to really zero in on the rule of law, you know, because really the only reason our founders came together to create a government was to protect our individual life, liberty, and ability to pursue happiness. And, of course, obviously deal with, you know, some foreign negotiating and you know, defense and whatnot, but very, very limited role. And you know, the reason we're in the mess we are is because everybody wants to use government to push their personal agenda.
Now, are you saying, now when you say you're against legalization completely, are you saying you're against medical even?
Well, I think if we need medical marijuana, we can absolutely use the extract to find a way to get the active ingredient out of marijuana to be able to use it. But I don't think we need to be legalizing marijuana, not yet. I don't think that there's enough evidence in, and I have a science degree, I don't think there's enough evidence in to prove that the marijuana, and I've heard both sides, I've listened to both sides, I don't think there's enough evidence in yet to prove that there's any truth. That, I mean, I hear some people saying, oh yeah, I know so-and-so, they have seizures, okay, but there's not enough of that. There's not enough people, enough doctors and scientists saying, yeah, it absolutely works. Now, if there's an extract, if there's something in marijuana that works, and you can sit down and prove to me that it works.
Shouldn't the proof have to be the other direction? Shouldn't the proof have to be the other direction before you throw somebody in jail for something?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you said.
Shouldn't the proof have to come the other direction before you actually arrest somebody and ruin their lives for something?
Now, basically, your assertion is that because we haven't proved it thoroughly enough, that marijuana should still be deemed illegal. And what Joel is purporting is, shouldn't the proof that something is that detrimental that somebody should be caged for possessing an item, shouldn't that be the burden of proof be on the one who wants to cage people?
Well, I can show you the burden of proof if you'd like to come hang out at the funeral home with me sometime.
Well, not really, because it's illegal now.
Well, it is. Still happens, it's illegal. Though. And I got to tell you, I see issues every day coming through the funeral home. See, that's my problem is, it's mostly, it's not the older people. It's not people who are 35 years old who are crashing and creating the problems, even though they're out smoking marijuana. Those aren't the ones. You know, science has proven to us that until you're 25 to 27, some cases 28 years old, that your brain hasn't even developed properly to be able to have those critical thinking and decision-making skills. So what we're seeing the problem are the young people who are the same ones who are out there drinking and driving. Now they're, if we give them the marijuana, yeah, I understand what you're saying, they're going to break the law and do it anyway. Hopefully, though, we can deter it some. That's my goal. Sometimes you have to, and I, you know, I'm for limited government, guys. Don't get me wrong. I can't stand the fact that the government just keeps growing and growing and growing. And there are a lot of books, a lot of laws in the books that I'd like to do away with. Right now, though, I don't personally see marijuana as one of those issues that we need to do away with right now, the law, because sometimes we have to protect other people, and that's what I see. I'm in a unique position. I see people in here who were killed by somebody who was smoking a joint going down the road. Oh, and let's not just blame that. Texting as well.
So,
I have people in here that were killed by somebody who was texting and going down the road. Sometimes, don't we have a responsibility to protect, a group of people from another group of people?
Well, the primary purpose of government is not to keep you safe, it's to keep you free.
And freedom can be risky at times. People are going to die from abusing that freedom. And I'd sure be curious to know, if you, as your funeral home physician, I mean, are you knowing that these people died smoking a joint and wrecking because how? I mean, is it because they still had some in their blood, which lasts for 30, 45 days, as we all know? Or did the...
The only information that I get is from, a lot of times will be the officers on scene or from the family. It's not my place to go in there and say, oh, how did they die? As a matter of fact, I get people call me. Just like you have looky-loos driving by an accident.
Right.
I get people contact me all the time and say,
how do you think that one died? Yeah.
It's none of my business.
Right. I could imagine that. And I think, one of the challenges I've run into is, I've been around a lot of stoners growing up. And, some of the guys, are kind of questionable. But, of course, a lot of the alcoholics were mean assholes. And, in fact, the only time I ever got in a fight with a friend was because he was drunk. And thankfully, I kept my cool. But, I took a couple face licks while I was telling him, hey, man, calm down. There's no reason to be being that way. But, when you look at marijuana, most people that smoke it end up doing 35 and a 55. And so if they're in a bad wreck, it's because they got rear-ended from driving slow. Or, I've seen lots of pretty convincing studies that actually marijuana, under the influence of marijuana, is less, debilitating as far as operating machinery than, 90% of prescription meds out there.
Yeah, and it replaces a lot of them. In Colorado, marijuana use has gone up, but prescription drugs uses have gone way down because of when they legalized it there. And you don't have to go to a doctor to get your medicine. You could actually grow it, and that's why there is a lobby against it.
Well, and obviously, we're not going to agree on every issue. You mentioned that you would like to remove a few laws. As me and Joel would probably agree with any law that you would decide you want to remove. Could you maybe expand on that a little bit? What couple of laws would you be willing to not lock me up or kill me for?
Well, I don't want to kill you for anything. Unless I'm trying to save my own life or someone else's life. But, there are a lot of things in the books that are just backwards. There are things right now, like take the tax code, for example, estate taxes. Here I am, I have a funeral home. And now I buy products wholesale, just like any other business. They buy wholesale, they'll get charged a tax on it. And then they sell it retail, they charge the purchaser a tax, and then that tax, we don't get to keep it, it goes on to the state, right?
Right.
Okay. In the funeral home business, I can't do that. I have to pay taxes for, say, like my casket, but I'm forbidden from charging taxes for it. So really, I'm the one having to pay the taxes on your product. Now, there'll be some people who will say, oh, well, you just build it into your cost. No, I can't do that. If I say I built it into my cost, now I've broken the law. So that to me was somebody in government who just wasn't thinking and created this, and now I'm the one who has to pay for it. That's a problem. And it's just not that. I'm sure there are lots of cases like that. You and I both know that, where if somebody came up with a brilliant idea to get their name on some law, they got it passed, they made a special interest group happy, and the rest of us end up suffering for it. I think there's a lot of that that can be fixed.
And yeah, unfortunately, though, for a lot of us, in fact, more and more, I think the last poll I saw, 56% of Texans view marijuana registry or marijuana laws in that same light, that it is a, you know, a negative overreach. You know, just look at how many times a mom's gotten killed from behind her own door at home sitting on her couch because they thought she had marijuana or some drugs in her house.
Right, and yeah.
Well, that's something too. Okay. I don't think that the government should be coming in, and just because they think you have a little bit of marijuana in your house, I don't think the government should be coming in knocking down your door trying to kill you. Or, you know, I mean, if you're not a threat to society or something, I don't want to see the police coming in knocking down your door trying to kill you.
Well, it sounds like you're on our side with the drug war now, then, because that's our real big beef with the drug war. I mean, I don't like a cokehead, an alcoholic. I mean, you know, if you're an addict, that personality type poses problems for anybody you're around, and nobody's arguing that that's the case. But unfortunately, we have to deal with that neighborly and family and churchly, and you know, and
you have to deal with it whether it's legal or illegal. That doesn't the drug war did not cause there to be less drugs used; it caused there to be more.
Yeah, it kind of made it cool.
Well, in my community where I live, It's not something that's accepted. They may in some pockets of Tyler and in Austin, but in most of Northeast Texas, it's not something. I hear it every day. I hear people coming to me every day saying, I don't think we should legalize marijuana. And so it's something that, and I feel the same way. So that's probably something we're just not going to agree on.
Now, you're in a couple of Texas independence groups. Do you support Texas independence?
Well, I think it's great that we have it and it's an option for us. I don't still think we're ready for it yet.
So maybe just before we legalize marijuana, we can get independent. Not ready yet.
Well, you may have to do it after you may get your independence and then decide you want to legalize marijuana because it'll be a whole new country then. You know, one of the reasons why I say I'm just not ready for it yet is because, you know, yes, I'm a Texan. I live in Texas. I grew up in South Carolina. Spent 20 years in the Navy. My wife is from Texas. Her family were one of the first pioneers who settled here. They had their family cabin down in LSU in a museum back there in Shreveport. I love Texas. But one of the things that I tell people all the time is I'm an American also, and I love America. If we, right now, the way the country is going, and it may get to this, and I would support it if it comes to that, but we find ourselves in a situation where if we tuck tail and run, or maybe a different term, if we decide we're fed up and we take off and we leave the United States, what's going to happen to the United States? They will never win another national election. There'll be nothing, once Texas is gone, to stop the left from doing everything that they're doing. And then what are we going to be surrounded by? Texas. Think about what's to the south of us and what's all around us at that point.
Well, you don't think
if
Texas...
We honestly are going to have a prayer.
If Texas sets the example, I mean, I firmly believe that several other states would not go along with the socialism that has been ingrained in our government at a federal level. You know, and speaking of which, just to dial back one detail, you know, you're going basically for Texas Senate. So everything you're legislating is all at a state level. Is that's
right, 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 absolutely.
So one of the things that, you know, that has been a challenge that, you know, even if we don't like marijuana per se as an issue, we're not on the same page, you want to keep that illegal, wouldn't you agree that the federal government has absolutely no business or authority legislating what we eat or drink or smoke?
I agree. This is an issue for the state. I don't think the federal government should have that. I'll agree with you on that. Even though I don't think marijuana should be legal, if we're going to legalize it should be regionally. You know, Colorado wants it. I was just out in Colorado. It hasn't worked out the way they thought it was going to work out.
In what way?
I'm sorry, did you say in what respect?
Yeah, in what respect is it not working out?
Well, they've had several incidents where they had kids who overdosed. And let me tell you how, because if you've been out there lately, you've seen they just didn't legalize marijuana. Now they're using the extract out of marijuana. They're making cakes. They're making cookies. They're making candies.
The nerve. Oh my gosh. And I tell you, you know, if you do get a chance, our very last episode right before yours, we interviewed Team Alexis. And Alexis is one of the many medical marijuana refugees that had to leave Texas to go to Colorado to avoid having seizures or being medicated into a lethargic coma.
And with other medicines, which actually did make her high when she took them, it wasn't stopping her seizures. She was having several a day. Now, the medical marijuana which she uses, which does not make her high, has completely stopped her seizures. She's been several hundred days without a seizure now.
I think
now.
290.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's really one of the things that got me full on board was seeing some of the young kids who are really suffering and our fear stigma of marijuana. I mean, wouldn't you agree alcohol is a lot worse for, you know, your average person, whether it's your liver or your, I mean, have you looked at any of the comparisons on the severity of damage to the human body?
Oh, I see it every day. Yes, I get people in here who have crashed, okay, alcohol and marijuana and every other kind of drug, but I also see their liver damage and everything else. Oh, you're absolutely right.
So do you think alcohol should be illegal?
I didn't hear what you said.
Do you believe that alcohol should be illegal?
Well, it is legal now, so I have no choice of whether that is legal or not.
No, but do you believe it should be illegal?
I don't drink. I don't know. It's already legal, so... You know, if it's, you know, are you going to tell me you're going to bring alcohol up for a vote, whether we're going to legalize it or not?
I guess we're just kind of...
If you're asking me in my community, I don't drink. My community is a dry community, but alcohol sales did come up, and I voted yes for it. And everybody who knows me knows that I did. I don't like alcohol. I don't drink. But the reason I voted yes, because of one simple factor. They're going to sell it down the street. I'd rather the guy drinking... drive right down the street here, or I mean real close, to buy more alcohol than have to drive over to the next county drunk to buy more alcohol. That was my point.
Yeah, you're absolutely
I don't want him on the road
that.
If he's drinking, but I voted for it, and we might as well get the tax revenue out of it.
Well, that's good to hear, and I mean that's kind of another part of the same analogy we've looked at on the drug war. Our prohibition of marijuana has given a beautiful cash crop to the Mexican cartels and created a war zone on our border, and if we just legalized it...
The drug cartels wouldn't exist.
Yeah, they'd be out of business overnight, because, you know...
I disagree with that. I don't think so. I think they'll move right up to the United States. I've actually been in a gunboat down on the border, not sitting with those guys on the Border Patrol gunboat. I operated small craft in the Navy, and I've been down there, off of San Diego, and I've seen what's going on down there, and I see what's going on here. I think that the drug cartel will move right up here, plus the gangs and stuff like that. It would be an open market. I know it seems like everybody all of a sudden is going to be able just to grow their little crop in their backyard. What I saw when I was driving through Colorado not long ago is I sat in traffic for I don't know how long, and the reason why is because you've got these rival people who don't even smoke marijuana. Mom and pop shops who opened up shops, and they thought, okay, we're entrepreneurs. We're going to open up this shop. Next thing you know, some shop opened up down the road. Now they're shooting out each other's windows. True story, look it up. I sat on the highway, and they had somebody who had just driven past one of those guys and blew out their back window. That was on the news not long ago. And so I was coming by right when that was happening, so they just held us up. I don't know. You know, personally, like I said, I just don't think it's right for my community. There may be other pockets of Texas that decide, well, they want it. And you know what? If they vote that in, if they decide San Antonio they want to do it or Houston, that's their business. That's their community. When I become the state senator, I have to represent my community.
Right.
That's what I have to do. And I can't worry about the other community.
Well, I mean, well, you're saying that that wouldn't end the drug cartels, but there are not alcohol gangs now, but there were in 1925.
Yeah, there's certainly historical evidence.
There were.
Yeah.
There were. You're absolutely right. But we do have a big problem with all the... Well, there is somewhat some issues, but you're never going to stop all of that. Like I said, my community doesn't want marijuana.
Well, to shift over... One of the other hot topics that's out there these days, and, you know, everybody's trying to out-hate immigrants and you know, out-restrict who can come here. I mean, are you in favor of doing a Berlin Wall on the Texas-Mexico border, or what's your thoughts on how do we deal with this immigration problem, if you will?
Well, I think you got to. We have to control the border, and I think we have to do whatever it takes to control the border. We can't have a free run of people moving back and forth across our border. Then not only are bringing diseases back that we thought were eradicated many years ago, we're starting to see a lot of things coming back up again. Polio is raising its head again. That's something that was eradicated many years ago. We know it's coming through the southern border. And we don't know who else is coming through here. We are pretty sure that there are terrorists and terrorist sympathizers that are coming through our southern border. They've got the camps set up just across the border. We know they've got training camps over there. I think we have to do whatever it takes to secure the border.
So spare no expense. If there's a bill that comes up that involves a Berlin Wall on the state border, you're all over it.
Well, I wouldn't use the term spare no expense. I think we have to do everything we can, but we have to be reasonable about this, guys. I mean, come on.
Well, have you seen the price tag on trying to fence our border? I mean, what they've done thus far, I think we've got, 300 miles that are fenced, and it was something like...
And it's not just the price tag. It's also the fact that there are a great many people in the government pretended to want the wall and didn't. I know that's why they stopped it.
If they wanted to secure the border would be secure by now. You can't say you want to secure the border. Forget the money on the fence, okay? Stop that for a moment. If you want to secure the border, how about start by going down and taking all the boxes full of food and water out of the desert? Because you know what? Everything that they keep doing is making just more appealing for people to come through the border. The Chinese, you can't even turn them back now because they're more of not refugees, okay, is where they've gotten classified. They come across the border, and as soon as they get on American territory, they go over there with these little poles that have a hot button on it, sends out a radio signal, and the Chinese, they won't even walk another foot. They sit down, hit the button, and wait for the Border Patrol to come get them because they can't be sent back. That's wrong. Wow. There are a lot of things we can do to make it a lot tougher for them to come across here, and if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. Our first obligation is to Americans. Well, that's our first obligation.
And I tell you, it was heartbreaking when I heard from some of the folks down on the border that if you own border land, you are actually forced to shoulder the expense of setting up these emergency boxes on your land. And and that's, you know, it's just insult to injury. But
right. My opinion, the best thing you could do to solve that problem is end the welfare state and the drug war. You get rid of those two things, and you really don't care who's coming across.
Well, I know. I got it. You're into the marijuana and you wanna
Well, we're into freedom, I think is the main thing.
I got it.
Freedom and peace. And we're not gonna get that if we're trying to tell people how they can live their lives. But
I mean, there's no doubt the violence is caused by the drug
to get the government off our back. You and I will agree on that. There's a lot of things. We won't agree on everything, but when it comes down to getting the government off our backs, you've got an ally with me for I'm betting probably 99% of it.
Well, we definitely look forward to seeing when your details get a little more filled out on your website. I was kind of looking at that earlier, and yeah, you mentioned it was getting built. But basically, for those that want to dive into it, as he gets his information populated, it's Mike Lee for TexasSenate.com, and that's all spelled out MIKE Lee for Texas Senate, and LEE is the last name. And Mike, we definitely appreciate you coming. And is there any other unique positions you hold or details you feel like a freedom loving listeners might want to hear from you?
Well, I'm a real proponent of term limits. You know, I think we need to send guys down there. They get down there and they're stuck forever. And the longer they're down there, the more dug in they are. And you know, I speak about this, and I talk about, hey, look, I'm only going down for one term, maybe two. And I'm adamant about that. You got to have fresh blood down there. Once you get down there, all of a sudden, all the favors start. And now we're not doing your work, the people's work. We're paying back favors is what ends up happening. The same thing with the endorsements and stuff. I haven't taken one endorsement. I haven't even asked for endorsements. Brian mentioned today we were at a forum, and Brian brought up the fact that, I mentioned his endorsements and talk about the endorsements and the negative life, but I can't get any. I haven't asked for any. I have not. As a matter of fact, I went I was invited to an interview over in Mount Pleasant, where we all went, and the first thing I said to that group, and they will tell you, I'm not asking for your endorsement. The only endorsement I want is the endorsement of the people. Keep your money, keep your endorsement. I'm not asking. I think we need to get away from all of the endorsements, all of the money getting poured in from special interests, the guys staying down there forever, because we can't do what you need done as long as they're doing the work for the people they're having to pay back.
Sounds great. Well, man, we thank you for coming on with us, and we'll certainly be watching the race close. And, you know, I said, if we ask you just certainly look hard at your oath to the Constitution. And as a state rep, you know, of course, you got a little bigger reins. You know, that's been one of our other challenges on folks, because, you know, at least with the Constitution, you can make that argument that that's not authorized, so not legal. But at a state level, you know, we really got to be careful who we get on the representing us, because you guys, you know, could all of a sudden jail us for some petty plant or something.
Right. Well, we thank you for being with us. And
not trying to lock the world up or anything. You know, like I said, when it comes to the marijuana issue, I have a group of people that I live with that just don't want it over here. It may be fine for San Antonio, and hey, if they wanted to legalize it somehow in their community, I believe in that. It's a community issue. If your community wants it, knock yourself out. But, you know, don't I have a right in my community to do what my community wants? And if they elect me as their senator, that's what I have to do.
And that's
my job.
That's a great point. And I think the key challenge that we're trying to narrow down at is, at what point do we ever have the right as a government to do something we wouldn't as an individual? And if I was walking down the street and some guy smoking a joint walked past me, I would have no right to go beat him up, lock his hands behind his back, throw him in a cage, make him pay a bunch of money.
Or kill him if he resisted.
Or kill him if he resisted that effort. And so we'd like to see government dial back to where, unless I'm infringing on somebody else's direct right, if I'm polluting your river stream, you know, I'm hurting you in some way or damaging your ability to pursue happiness, then by all means, you know, let's band together and form a thing called government and take care of business. But we've just kind of gotten too big for our britches, I think. But, man, again, we really appreciate your time, and we'll certainly be watching close.
Mike Lee.
Hey, anytime, anything that I can do for you, any other questions you have, always contact me. And know this, if I'm elected to the state senate, there's always an open door for you. Whether you think I'm going to agree with you or not, I'm an open-minded guy. And I will listen to everything. And what I tell everybody is, it doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. If you can come in, I will honestly sit with you, and I'll let you make your case. If you can make your case good enough, if you can make your case and convince me, then you'll never have a stronger advocate in your corner.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Mike.
Hello, I'm Rudy Rabbit with RightWay. Today, I'd like to talk to you about solar energy. Back when solar was first introduced, it wasn't really feasible for most of us to use it in our homes because it took way too long to realize a return on such a large investment. But now, with all the recent advances in solar technologies, you can save money and help the environment by installing a grid-tie solar system in your home. Plus, with the new tax incentives and rebates, you can get more than half the cost of your system returned to you in the first year. There are even financing options available. Not only that, a solar system will increase the retail value of your home, and you can get exempt from any increase in your property taxes based on your solar system's value added. So why not take advantage of the East Texas sun and put it to work for you and us all? Consider solar whenever you're considering remodeling your house, building a new home, replacing your roof, or just as an energy improvement on your home in general. Solar and green technologies are more important than ever. They're a lot more affordable than most people think, so please consider it. I'm Rudy Wright, and I'm honored to present you this Green Minute.
This is Corey Watkins. When I'm not sticking my foot indoors, I'm listening to East Texas Liberty.
Donald Trump's Dear Leader song. And if you haven't seen the videos, it even makes it even worse. It's all these, it's these little girls in cheerleader outfits with the American flag on them, dancing around spinning batons. It's straight out of North Korea.
Yeah, I mean, some of the girls were like 6 and 8, and a couple of them might have been 12 or 13 at the most, but it was pretty freaky. In fact, as you were playing, I was going, oh, is this a spoof song I heard somewhere?
I know. I was thinking, I do a lot of stuff that's fake for the show, but that, I swear I did not do that.
Yeah, that was really put out there on purpose.
Now, the Corey Watkins promo, by the way, was really Corey, too. I didn't do that either.
Right.
Although some of the promos that I played are a little suspect that I might have done those. But so far, we're this is both real. Another one of the presidential candidates, who, as a matter of fact, we talked about several weeks ago, having a really great memory. Let's say his memory seems to have issues lately. Ted Cruz.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it probably hadn't been a very good week for Ted, at least not for Ted's fans.
Well, the story came out that he forgot to report that he got a loan from Goldman Sachs, his wife's employer.
Yeah, oops, the extra $1 million. Where'd that come from? You know, I handle many millions.
Well, then the next day, another story came out that same thing happened with Citibank.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's two of them that totaled $1 million that he kept forgetting. And even though I complimented him on his memory before, there are some issues with his memory. He's forgetting to use the word four also.
Four?
Yeah, the word four. Because he's always talks about how his dad was in Cuba fighting communism. And he keeps forgetting the word for, because what was really going on was his dad was fighting for communism.
Do you have any evidence for that? Some super secret document somewhere?
No, this is actually public knowledge. His dad has apologized for it several times, that he was fighting for Castro.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
But he always tells the story about his dad was fighting communism, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard the story of his dad was a refugee from Cuba.
And the reason he was a refugee from Cuba was because I can't remember the guy's name that Castro was fighting to win power. But they were after him, and so he fled the country. But it wasn't Castro. He was supporting Castro.
Wow.
Well, so we got a guy who's not eligible to be president.
Arguably not even eligible to be Senate that he's already sitting in, because he didn't live here for a full, I think it's 7 years or 9 years. I mean, I read one report that was pretty convincing. I haven't got to double check it all, but we know, I mean, hell, he had his Canadian citizenship until 2012. So,
yeah,
you know,
2014.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the deck is getting stacked against Mr. Cruz.
Tammy Blair had a really good point of view on this. Said if people think that Ted Cruz is a natural born citizen to the United States, then you have to also think that he's a natural born citizen of Cuba.
That's true. Yeah.
But actually, the reason she said that is because people are saying he's a natural born citizen because of his mother, but that has nothing to do with being a natural born citizen. You're a natural-born citizen because of your father, at least by the standards at the time of the Constitution, which is what applies here.
Yeah, and I would certainly concede that if you were to modernize it, which would require a clarifying amendment, would be the proper process if we wanted to really try and get something official. But the founders thought this was so stupid and basic that they didn't need to spell it out. A natural-born citizen at that time was your dad being a citizen born in the nation where you were.
And your dad had to be a citizen at the time of your birth.
Right.
Which rules out Ted Cruz, Barack Obama, Marco Rubio, and...
Bobby Jindal. Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, really. So, but if you were to modernize it, I mean, the intent of the founders was that your allegiance could not be split in any way to hold the highest office in the land. So, if you were to modernize it, then I would certainly concede that the mother and the father need to be a citizen. They just, you know, unfortunately didn't really give the mothers that much weight back in the day.
Right. Things have changed a little. There's more feminism now.
Yeah. But it's really, I mean, it's amazing how many debates that you can get with people that are just, I mean, they want to post, you know, the Harvard Law Review.
Especially the ones that said Obama was illegal.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious because what possible, if you say Obama was born in Kenya and he's illegal, then you say Ted Cruz is illegal. I don't even see how you can make that argument. I mean, so Ted Cruz is legal, and Obama's illegal.
Ted Cruz is a lighter color, though, so apparently that makes it okay.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still Mexican, right?
Wow. Yeah, I tell you, it's crazy out there. And, you know, and then Cruz, who was one of the co-sponsors of the Fed, audit the Fed bill, didn't even show up to vote this week.
Yeah, and that's why the same week that this information came out that he didn't report getting $1 million in loans from these two banks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would these banks loan him money? Now, think about this. He was not supposed to win that election. As Senate, those came as a big surprise to everybody. I remember not thinking he was going to win. And I wasn't nearly as dialed in.
He was supposedly the underdog Tea Party favorite.
Right. So
come to find out, he
so
was
if he didn't
Goldman
win the
Sachs
election,
sponsored.
If he didn't win the election, do they expect their $1 million back? I'd say probably not. They were investing in $1 million and hoping he wins the election to be a senator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really weird how that works. I mean, for Ted to been able to take out $1 million loan personally to donate it to his campaign
from banks who don't loan money not expecting to get anything for it.
So, I mean, you know, our apologies to you Ted Cruz fans out there. I mean, we love a lot of what he says. I mean, and just like...
I love the fact that he stands up against Obamacare. I just think he's full of shit.
Unfortunately, like
and that's why from even when he was in fifth or sixth place, I was saying I thought he would win because I think he's the biggest liar, but I think he may have hurt himself this week.
Yeah, this should have taken a big dent out of sales, but sadly, the more his sales get deflated, the more Trump's get
right.
puffed up.
Yeah, there is... The next president will be worse than Barack Obama, I promise.
Yeah.
But unless... Here's a possible scenario, all right? Ted Cruz wins the nomination for the Republicans. Hillary Clinton wins the nomination for the Democrats. Steve Kerbell for the Libertarians.
That would be a hell of a
between
lineup.
The election and the inauguration, Hillary goes to prison. Ted Cruz is ruled ineligible. So who's the president?
Kerbell.
Now, that would be awesome.
That would be about the only way we're going to get a Libertarian in office this year.
And, I mean, that would be a game changer, but don't get your hopes up. It's not likely. I'm just saying. There was another former presidential candidate that said something this week that was so stupid that it made Chris Matthews sound smart.
Wow.
I know you don't think this is possible, but when you hear this, you will agree. This is Michelle Bachmann in Rural.
10 terrorists released from Gitmo to Oman. There are 10 Yemeni terrorists that were released. That'll be an issue. And the big question that's in everyone's heart is this. Will President Obama give the land at Gitmo to the communists in Cuba? Will he give it to them? Because if he gives it to them, you might as well consider that he's giving it to either the Iranians, the Russians, or the Chinese. And we could have, in our own backyard, 90 miles from Cuba, a malevolent force that has
a physical
presence for the first
Cuba's
time.
Already,
that's a
well, Cuba's, already, Cuba's already there. We can't move it away. Anyway, thank you so much, Robert Costa. Thank you, Dina Bass. And
in case you think you misheard this, let me play this again. She is saying that if Barack Obama gives Guantanamo Bay to Cuba, then Cuba will be 90 miles away from the United States.
Will President Obama give the land at Gitmo to the communists in Cuba? Will he give it to them? Because if he gives it to them, you might as well consider that he's giving it to either the Iranians, the Russians, or the Chinese. And we could have, in our own backyard, 90 miles from Cuba, a malevolent force that has a physical presence for the first
Cuba's
time.
Already,
that's a
well,
big
Cuba's
issue.
Already, Cuba's already there. We can't move it away. Anyway, thank you so much, Robert Costa. Thank you, Dina Bass. And
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Shame on you.
Wow. Well, you know, Bachman's up.
That's, that was amazingly stupid. I just happened to be going through the channels on the TV and I saw that and I was going, she did not just say that. So fortunately, due to modern technology, I was able to rewind it. I was like, that's incredible. So Michelle Bachmann, you are the winner of this week's Straight Out of Idiocracy Award.
that would have been closely seconded to Mike Lee's position on why marijuana should be illegal.
Yeah.
It caused a bunch of wrecks? Really?
Yeah.
You're going with that one.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Mike did say some things that were like shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly worth at least addressing for a minute. And that's always good. I appreciate him coming on and sharing an opposing viewpoint, you know, to ours. I think the...
I did, and it did take some gonads to go on a show called East Texas Liberty.
Well, yeah.
Even if he didn't know much about the show.
He should have done
something. It says Liberty in it.
Well, I mean...
But so does the group that has almost our same name that's in East Texas that had Alan West and probably Mike Lee and people like that.
No, they've actually backed Hughes, I think.
Oh, Hughes, okay, yeah. Because Hughes is Liberty. The good thing about Mike Lee is he will not take one single vote from David Simpson. He will take votes from David, from Brian Hughes.
I hope you're right. I mean, that certainly, you know, if people are voting along an ideological line, then you're definitely right, because, you know, Simpson stands head and shoulders above those other two as the true liberty leader. But unfortunately, it's hard to imagine, or it's hard to speculate how strong the old grip is from the old folks who, you know, blue hairs that think marijuana's of the devil. And that we need to keep locking people up, you know.
Yeah, but see, those people were, if it was just Hughes and Simpson, which it almost is, I mean, those are the two main guys. There's the ones where you see their signs everywhere. And if it's just those two, then the only ones that that Lee would be taking would be Hughes's. It'd be the big government people. It would not be the small government people.
Well, let's just hope that people step up and vote locally. Because, I mean,
here's an idea for everyone in Smith County. Now, you see a lot of signs up for sheriff, for Larry Smith, and for Chris Green both. And I saw Chris Green on a big one of those TV billboard things.
I've seen a couple of really nice looking Chris Green signs, good locations, yeah.
So, and you see all these signs up, and you cannot mess with their signs. Do not touch anybody's signs. That's illegal. It's wrong. It's not the right thing to do. However, it is not wrong, illegal, or immoral to make your own signs that say "Remember Waco" and put them right up next to Larry Smith's signs. That is perfectly legal.
Well, and you know, I was kind of surprised today. I was doing a little bit of work this morning on one of my liberty-loving customers, and this guy's got, you know, a real mind for liberty. He understands the proper role of government. Not, you know, necessarily an outwardly proclaiming libertarian, but, you know, libertarian mindset. And he had a Larry Smith sign in his front yard, and we got to chatting a little bit. And his mindset on it was somewhat surprising. He said part of why he was going with Larry was he's known him for a long time. Apparently they knew each other younger. And he hadn't heard the comments about what good came from Waco and a few of the other nuggets I dropped for him. But
that video is not out there where I can find it anymore. I've been trying for a long time. It seems to have disappeared.
That's a little interesting. Well, his logic was that he ran into somebody that was rooting for Green and was asking him, well, why are you voting for Green? Because he likes to get inside people's head and, you know, understand where they're coming from. And I said, oh, well, you know, one time I was out on the water, a drunker and a Cooter Brown, and, you know, Chris Green let me go and said he might need a favor. You know, here's my favorite. I'm going to vote for him.
And Chris Green is by no means perfect.
Yeah.
But he is head and shoulders above Larry Smith. And somebody's going to win.
Well, and I mean, I didn't get into it there, but I certainly felt like we should have had a conversation about the victimless crime aspect. And I think a drunk is a good litmus test to really examine it. Because
right, because that's right there on the edge.
Yeah.
You can't get any more on the edge than a drunk driver.
Yeah, or just a drunk in general, because, I mean, granted, a drunk driver, now you put him behind the wheel of a multi-thousand-pound weapon.
And now you've created a danger.
Yeah, but even a drunk guy wandering through town, I mean, you know, stumble through a plate glass window or, you know, get drunk and get angry and shoot somebody. I mean, you know, there's when you're inebriated, your judgment is severely clouded. So you just, you know, you got to be careful with folks out there.
Another thing that I teased in the opening... Greg Abbott has called for an Article 5 convention.
Yeah, I saw that this week. I don't know what to make of it, because, you know, we don't have a rule of law problem. There's plenty of laws in the books. We have an enforcement and a honesty problem.
Heidi Hansing from Raging Elephants Radio made the best argument against this that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with her on everything, but she is absolutely spot on this. The people that would go to this convention are not people as knowledgeable as you or me or Judge Napolitano and people like that. They're going to be government people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be people that support government. And what they would be likely to do if they were to start saying, thinking they're doing good or pretending to do good, like, say, the Department of Education can no longer do this. And saying thinking they're stopping the Department of Education, or giving the impression they're stopping the Department of Education from, you know, deciding what kind of lunch kids are going to get, or stuff like that, or withholding money for certain things. But what you've actually done was legitimize the Department of Education, which before that was unconstitutional, now is part of the Constitution.
No, excuse me.
And there's a million things like the EPA that they could do that with. So, well, the EPA can't come down on this. They have to have consensus from so many scientists, or they have to... consult so many different people. And when you do that and saying there's a rule for the EPA, now you just legitimize the EPA, which right now is illegitimate.
Or even more scary, you know, if we're outnumbered by the big government folks. I know. And then
that's what can happen if people are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Now, don't assume that's the case either.
Exactly. That's where I was headed. I mean, you know, we get outnumbered and we have some folks that come in there and try and remove the right to bear arms from the Texas Constitution.
That's the federal Constitution.
Either or.
But like what had happened before, the Articles of Confederacy, or Articles of Confederation, I'm sorry, they said the problem that they had with it was it didn't give the federal government the power to collect money and have taxes, and they couldn't even pay for wars. Those poor people, they couldn't even pay for wars.
The nerve.
So they fixed that problem with the Constitution.
Yeah, the con is definitely just not a good idea. You know, you hear Mike Levine talking so much about it, or Mark Levine, and you know, it's the same concept. It's not that the laws have problems. We have way too many laws already, and nobody really follows them. You know, we don't.
Right, and the states don't enforce them, and that's the whole problem. And the counties don't enforce them, with very few exceptions. But the cities, counties can stop them. Your sheriff can throw the federal government out of your county, and it's been done.
It needs to be done again.
Matter of fact, it's been done in Oregon, just not where the people are right now.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if you heard David Simpson's personal privilege speech.
Yeah, I did.
But, for any of you guys that didn't listen to that, if you want to hear a statesman talk, you know, here's a guy calling it out. And, I mean...
Right, and just, go to David Simpson's page, and it's going to be up there very close to the beginning. Yeah, it's very good. And he had one this last session that was very much like that.
Well, it's just sad that there's, you know, so little respect for the rule of law. I mean, just like he was talking about in there, you know, for those of you that may not have time to go listen to it, it is an 18-minute speech. One of the examples he brings up is that, look, you know, the statute says that we have to bring the house to order at 10 o'clock. He said, so what do they do? You know, they warned him when he was first getting there. They said, don't worry about getting, don't hurry. But he said he gets there and they stop the clock so that they can stay within compliance of the statute. But sometimes they're 10, 15, 20 minutes late, and then they just restart the clock. So by staying in compliance with the statute, they're totally being dishonest with the world, you know.
And he also talked about how people would pretend to support bills that they knew were going to die so they could have it on the record that they voted for things and be misleading that way. He talked about that, and that goes on a lot. That happens a lot. Back to Governor Abbott's plan.
Yeah.
He has, he actually had like a 71 page
brief
on it.
I don't know if you call it
brief by my standards. Yeah. But he was a former attorney general, so I guess for lawyers that's pretty brief. But he's got 9 points that he wants to, 9 different amendments that he wants to have. Number one, prohibit Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state. That's good, except that it's already in the Constitution now.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have the specified power, it doesn't exist.
The Texas government can do that now without permission from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Two, require Congress to balance its budget. Yes, that's a good idea, except that Texas also does have a constitutional limit that they have to balance their budget, and they lie about it every single time.
Yeah, another thing David Simpson talked about in his speech.
Yes, and this is... This is Texas that does this, and this is Greg Abbott with this list of amendments, by the way. Just saying. Number three, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from creating federal law. That's already in the Constitution. How about you just enforce the Constitution here, Mr. Abbott? Number four, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from preempting state law. That's already in the Constitution, Governor Abbott. Why don't you enforce the Constitution as it is now?
Wow.
And it's your fault, it's the state of Texas' fault, that these aren't, that this is not already the way things work. It's not the federal government. It's because of the cowards in in Austin, including Greg Abbott.
Well, and I mean, to their defense, a lot of it's connected to the purse strings. I mean, if you don't go along with the federal requirements, they yank your highway money.
Who has the final say on that?
Well, Congress.
Really?
I mean, as far as what? As far as where...
Well, what if Greg Abbott got on TV and said, don't pay income tax? What would happen?
Well, you've got a very valid
point
there.
That sounds like the final word to me.
Yeah, I mean, if we had a leader that brave, but...
Right. All these things that are already in the Constitution are not being enforced by him, the very person that wrote this.
Yeah, I mean, our entire problems, really even as society, it's not because people are disobedient. It's because too many people are freaking obedient and just do what they're told and don't even question.
Right. Number five, allow 2/3 majority of states to override a U.S. Supreme Court decision. How about this, Governor Abbott? One person can do, one state can do it. You don't have to listen to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Have some gonads. Number six, require a 7-justice supermajority vote for U.S. Supreme Court decisions that invalidate a democratically enacted law.
What?
He wants the Supreme Court to be able to overturn laws.
If they have a supermajority, in other words, seven out of seven.
No, so the supermajority would be, but there are seven out of seven. Okay, yeah, you're right. It'd be 7 out of 7. It'd be all of them.
Yeah, so unanimous decision.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Again, this is giving the Supreme Court the authority to make laws, which the Supreme Court should never have the authority to make laws.
Right.
Number seven, restore the balance of power between the federal and state governments by limiting the former to the powers expressly delegated to the Constitution. In other words, exactly what the 9th and 10th Amendments say now in the Constitution.
Wow.
Number eight, give state officials the power to sue in federal court when federal officials overstep their bounds. How about this? How about giving them the power to ignore the federal government, which you have that power now. Use it.
Nullify.
Number nine, allow a 2/3 majority of states to override a federal law or regulation. Greg Abbott, one state can do it now. You don't need permission from 2/3 of the states.
Wow.
And that's why Greg Abbott is a bitch.
Well, you know, we ruffled a little feathers with that meme that you put out, kind of calling him out on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Greg Abbott was throwing a fit whenever Barack Obama made a speech the other day and said that he wanted to require a license of people selling guns. Now, do not mistake what I'm saying here for support for what Barack Obama said, because it isn't. He should be arrested for trying it. However, Greg Abbott supported forcing people to have a license just to carry a gun. And Greg Abbott didn't just sign it because that's what came to his desk. He actively supported that in the run-up to the election.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have openly thrown his support behind constitutional carry...
Which he did not.
And if he would have openly declared that it is an inalienable right enshrined in the supreme law of our land. I mean, that's what's so frustrating, is nobody is an extremist for liberty. I mean, where are the Thomas Jeffersons? Where's the George Washingtons? Well, they're probably in Gitmo. Oh, sad but true.
Well, I would rather the Sam Adams and the people that fought for liberty and did not ever go back later and fight against it.
Well, that is a better example. Good call.
And there are those people there. That's the Corey Watkins and that's the Murdoch Pizzgattis that actually catch heat from the people like C.J. Grisham and Michael Cargill that are the half-assers in the liberty movement. And Dwayne Stovall, who I would consider a liberty guy by Republican standards, replied to the meme with Greg Abbott. He was saying that, he said, let's keep this in context. The federal government has no constitutional authority to be involved in the bearing of arms. The citizens of each state can manage the bearing of arms if they see fit. And I said, no, the state doesn't have any more authority to steal your rights than the federal government does. See, this is, the laws don't come from government. And I've heard Dwayne Stovall say this, but he forgets it when he thinks that... Well, that
it's okay if the state does it.
Right. It's not big government. If it's the state's boot on your throat, it doesn't hurt as much. It's legitimate.
Right.
But your right to keep and bear arms is a natural right. It's a God-given right.
Just like your right to speak, your right to think, your right to pray.
Right. And really, and this is what there should have only been one amendment to the Constitution originally, and it should have said this. You have the right to do anything that does not infringe on the rights of anyone else. You don't need 10 different rules.
Well, we can have one other one to go with that.
Okay.
That the government has no right to infringe on any of your rights.
Right, and one thing the Constitution did that is completely intentional, all the things that it says the government has to do, there's no punishment. Mm. There's no what if. What right. if we don't? And that was completely done intentional because the Constitution was designed to control you. It was not for freedom.
Well, and I think the sincere ones really had hoped that we would have taken the Constitution and as people matured in freedom, we would have limited even further government. I mean, I think that's what, you know, Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, when he was reviewing the Constitution, you know, that was the inference I got from a lot of his writings.
Well, they're really, during like the Federalist Papers, they're selling the idea of getting a federal government, which is what steals half of your money and listens to everything that you do and watches everything that you do and grabs your nuts at the airport. And that's what they were selling. I mean, it always goes that way. This is not an American thing. It's always gone that way. Americans tell everybody that, you know, we're the land of the free, and people come here for freedom of religion and stuff like that.
Well, they hate us for our freedom.
Yeah, they hate us for our freedom. Well, that may be true of the government, because they don't particularly like the whole freedom thing.
They're sure not happy with the freedom movement. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, just this week, a local farm, I say local, not real close to us, but got instructed they can no longer sell their chicken feet. You know, a couple $100 a month out of the farm's pocket, and it was stuff that, you know, that they were otherwise throwing away anyway, and now they just have to throw it away. I mean...
Well, and also the one up north of Fort Worth, the place got busted for sending raw milk to Fort Worth.
The nerve!
And a city councilwoman from Fort Worth was the one that turned them in. It went, and a judge said it was okay, and a jury found them guilty. That's how indoctrinated people are, and that is because of public schools. That's the only reason.
And that wasn't even in the jurisdiction of Fort Worth. The milkery wasn't dairy. It's called milkery.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that we've gotten to this point, and the people are a part of it. You can stop it at any level. You can, if you're the cop, listen to me, police officers. If you're the cop, you could not arrest them because they're not hurting anybody. If you arrest someone who's not hurting anybody, you are the criminal.
Yeah, I mean, moral accountability has got to be restored. There can be no one who thinks that they're above the law. There can be no one who is exempt from repercussions from actions that negatively impact others. I mean, it's not rocket science, guys.
Well, it looks like that is about all the time we have here, so I'm going to leave you with a little bit of Queensryche.
Yeah. you make peaceful revolution impossible, you'll make violent revolution inevitable.